The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 15.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man shall not be your heir, your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 4. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, Father, Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, For I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the gospel reading today, Jesus tells us the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And he tells you two things in this reading. First is that your life in Christ is to be lived in love toward your neighbor. And he does this by showing you what not to do with the rich man. And he also shows you what is to be your faith, your life lived in accordance with his word as you trust Moses and the prophets. You may be seated. So here's this rich man in this reading today. And he lived his life with no care for his neighbor and completely the opposite of the epistle reading, which says, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So the rich man didn't love his brother, Lazarus. No, he was content with feasting in his home while Lazarus lay at his door, starving, and the dogs licking his sores. Now, something of note in this reading is that Lazarus was laid at the rich man's door. Jesus doesn't talk about someone distant from the rich man or place a burden on him with some social injustice or whatever the term is now. No, this man, Lazarus, a person was near the rich man and he was in need. Rather than living according to the fifth commandment to help his neighbor in his physical need, the rich man didn't care. He didn't help him. He didn't love him, whom he could see, and thus he did not love God, whom he can't see. The rich man hated God. So God is teaching you to love your neighbor as yourself. He's doing this not in an abstract way, but with real people. You know who they are. You can see their faces. You wave to them when they go by. Perhaps you know their names. The collect of the day is your prayer as you think about all of this. We prayed a few minutes ago, O God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers. And because through the weakness of our mortal nature, we can do no good thing, grant us your grace to keep your commandments, that we may please you in both will and deed. So that's what God teaches you about your life in this world toward your neighbor. And it's a fruit of your faith. Loving your neighbor as yourself can only flow from a true living faith in Christ that God has given. Simply telling the rich man, to love his neighbor would only go so far. Sure, he might outwardly have done more to help Lazarus, either out of compulsion, guilt, or maybe he would have cared for him or had some type of pity. But truly loving him, performing this good work of taking care of his neighbor, can only proceed from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin, Romans 14 says. And Hebrews 11 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. This then gets to the heart of the matter, and really the eternally serious thing in this reading today. The rich man lacked faith. He didn't listen and trust God's word, and it led to his eternal condemnation. So there's a very harsh warning that God teaches all of you this morning as you listen to this reading. It's a timely warning, too, for you to hear today because it's a very common error that is prevalent in the world today, especially among younger generations like my own. There are many people who want to help others and serve them, and for that we are thankful. Now another discussion needs to happen about what is truly good and right in terms of helping people or what love is or isn't. There's a great deal that goes by love today that is far from loving and, in fact, a mockery of real, godly, biblical love. Some things that go by the name love is a cover-up for evil, and it actually harms people even unto eternal condemnation and death. In Psalm 16, God says, "The highway of the upright turns aside from evil. Whoever guards his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." And again, in Psalm 31, God says, "The Lord preserves the faithful, but abundantly repays the one who acts in pride." Now, going back, though, to the issue at hand in this gospel reading, though, there was a man in need. The desire to help others is a good thing, at least in a worldly or civil sense. There are many of my millennial generation, although I'm right on the cusp of that, I will have you know that at least, that this idea of seeing people in need and helping them whenever possible. What happens, though, is this becomes a substitute for the Christian faith. Rather than hearing the word of God, helping the neighbor becomes the source and comfort in one's life. I've personally had people tell me this with something like, "I love God by volunteering and sacrificing my time to help people. I don't need to sit and listen or read what God says in the Bible. My faith is personal. My faith is in the here and now with the people in this world who need help." Now, some of the most dangerous lies of the devil are not blatant lies, but ones which contain elements of truth. Sentiments and statements like this about loving the neighbor have some truth in them. I mean, look at that epistle reading today. If anyone says, "I love God and hates his brother," he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. That's all true, absolutely. It's God's word, but this is not at the expense of or to be the source of what redeems you. You don't find your confidence in those things. In the Old Testament reading, Moses recorded about Abram something very important. We're told, "And he," Abram, "believed the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him," Abram, "as righteousness." The only righteousness that avails or counts before God is the righteousness of faith. The reason why is this is the case is because faith receives, lays hold of Jesus and his obedience and his righteousness for you. So you have peace with God through faith. As much as someone may love his neighbor and do great and wonderful things in this world, without faith in Christ, he will end up in hell. Salvation by works doesn't always look like the Pharisees. Often, the salvation by works looks like nice people doing nice things for one another. So what? Well, both ditches are wrong. The rich man didn't love his neighbor Lazarus. That is wrong, and really was a fruit of unbelief. On the flip side, though, are those who will do things and show love, although using that term needs to be qualified, for their neighbor, and yet have no righteousness. Both of these situations and lives are sinful and a warning to you. Listen then to what was said to the rich man in the gospel reading. "And he," the rich man, "said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' And he said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" It was too late for the rich man. Now he wanted his brothers to be warned. Abraham, Father Abraham, gave him some fatherly advice and wisdom here. The brothers have the word of God, which means they have everything they need. Listen to it. So what does this word say to you? Well, it says love your neighbor. There's no wiggling around this. God commands you to love your neighbor. He also teaches you what love, real love, is, and what this love for your neighbor will look like in the various stations in your life, in the church, in your family, and in the world around you. This is where God's law teaches you as a Christian. So you listen, and you learn from the Ten Commandments. You see what God teaches in the epistles about your conduct in this life. You look to God to define what love is and what love is to look like in your life as a Christian father, husband, friend, neighbor. The Father said about Jesus, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." So look and examine your life, closely according to God's commandments. Listen to the word of God. Take it to heart. Look hard at your life and examine it closely. Ask yourself this question: is there anything in my life that I am loving in a way like the rich man? Go through the Ten Commandments and compare your life to them. Am I living a life that knows I am heading toward death? Or am I living my life my own way, on my own terms? Or, to put it in the statement of Abraham, I have God's word. Am I listening to it? Or am I finding every excuse not to hear it, put it on the back burner, or not conform my life to it? So it's always telling and a marker of this when you stop and start thinking about what God says to you. Because when you're honest with yourself, you let God's word speak in your life, you realize what it is pretty quickly, what you're treasuring and where you are putting all your time and effort, even what you are fearing, and you see that you need to repent. Just look at the past week, the past month. Count the number of times you sat down and read the scriptures, thought about the scriptures, prayed the scriptures. But can you even begin to count the number of hours you've devoted to other things in this life? Sporting events, television shows, your work. What has come to define your life? Well, when it's not the things of God fully and completely, then you're in danger of being like the rich man. So you have God's word. Listen to it. Yet don't be arrogant, prideful, stubborn. Don't remain in your sin and think you know better than God and what he teaches you. Rather, repent. You have Moses and the prophets. Listen to them. So your old sinful man wants to be the one in control. He wants to be the one to come up with his own ideas about how life should be lived, but he wants to be the one defining the terms, running the show. And rather than simply throwing up your hands and saying, you live your life and I live mine as a Christian, heed those words of Moses and the prophets. Heed the fatherly wisdom from Abraham. Listen to the word of God. Hear this word, love it, live it out in your life. Confess the Christian faith to your family and friends. Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope and confidence you have in Christ. Always confess and teach the truth, being faithful to God's word, even if it means a great cost at your relationships and any number of things. But you see, this is the culture in your homes and in your families that God is cultivating you and using you in your family and friends and the world around you to bring about real change, to love your neighbor. And you know what this all is? There's a big theological term for it. Love. It's out of love for each other. The love you give to those around you who have been placed at your gate, be it your spouse, your friend, your coworker. But you see what God teaches you. You see where you have sinned and you repent, lest you perish and end up in the same fate as the rich man. But each day as you rise up in the morning, tell that old man to be silent and let God's word speak in your life to teach you to love your neighbor, what this love is, what this real love is to look like in your life. And especially don't find your confidence in yourself and in this fruit, but find your confidence and comfort in God's love for you in Christ. And there's the real comfort today for you, dear saints of God, as you sit here and listen to Jesus. He's the one who has loved his Father perfectly, completely, even to the point of taking your sin upon himself and dying for you. And this means that the Father, your Heavenly Father, loves you. Christ's love is laying down his life, taking it up again so that you would have a place at the side of Abraham. And your place is not in the torment of hell where you deserve because of your sin. Instead, Jesus goes in your place, suffering God's wrath and into the grave. And now your sin is forgiven. And you are covered with the righteous life, the perfect obedience, the atoning death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And you are baptized and you have eternal life. You are a son of God and have the boldness and invitation to call God your dear Father. Take this to heart, dear children of God. The Lord looks at you this very day and says, you are righteous in my sight. And with this declaration, you know that you will be where Lazarus went and is even now. He had Moses and the prophets, and so do you. God has spoken to you, and he fixes your eyes on Jesus, your Savior. So your life is hidden in Jesus, and now you walk through this world as one who knows you have a future glory to come, that now looks at your neighbor with a love that flows from the love of Jesus for you. You go through this life seeing your neighbor as one for whom Christ has died for, just as he died for you. Your heart belongs to Christ, and this heart is a new heart that overflows with mercy toward your neighbor. And it's a heart that treasures God's word as the words of life and the lamp to your feet and the light to your path. Your prayer each day is for God's protection and care, even as you with all boldness call him your dear Father, for in Christ you are his dear children. So with all of that, behold your Lord. Behold the new life you have in him. Be steadfast, be immovable in this faith. God has given to you, by his grace alone, this faith which trusts and clings to Christ through his word. So there's nothing in this world more precious to you than Christ. And even if heaven itself were void and bare, even if it were empty, it would be enough to be with Jesus. Sorrow cannot break your heart because your trust is in the Lord who made heaven and earth. Your body and soul have been given to you by your Lord, and he has redeemed you by his blood. Your whole being belongs to Jesus and lives in faith toward him and in love toward your neighbor, for that is who God has recreated you to be in those baptismal waters. You're a Christian. Trusting his word and letting it speak, you're not swayed by any false doctrine that profanes the name of Christ. Satan has no power over you because he has been defeated. And patient and endurance, you bear your crosses and follow where Jesus leads. Fixing your eyes on Christ, you have life. And you have new life, and a life that lives knowing and living with a gaze toward the horizon, where you see your grave, to be sure, but you see your grave that stands open and empty as the Lord stands over it and having lifted you out of your grave. Your life is lived preparing for death, but you face it with the promise of the resurrection from the dead. You go through this life seeing the things of this world as temporary, and you are stewards of the possessions that you have. So when your neighbor is in need, when he has been placed at your gate, you help him as you can, and you point him to the same hope you have in Christ. And as you think about death, your life is lived in view of the Lord's death and resurrection. You have Moses and the prophets. You cling to those promises that because he lives, so shall you. And just as he has risen from the dead, you too shall rise from your graves and live with him and his saints in the new creation he will create. Whenever that day may come, or if the Lord returns first, you die well, because you die a Christian death, which is a death that has life. That's all your life in Christ, and your Christian hope in this life, even amid death. And what a joy it is to pray this and know the Lord does and will answer your prayer. And so, as we will sing as our closing hymn today, Lord, let at last thine angels come, to Abram's bosom bear me home, that I may die unfearing, and in its narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until thy reappearing. And then from death awaken me, that these mine eyes with joy may see, O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.